You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Doctor, if I really, really would, but the feeling in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the wall, and I'd like to give you information, asking for love, but blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise, and I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome to hour number three, and our sincere thanks to our good friend Dr. Ted Brower. And don't forget about the specials he's offering on his website with Health Masters. And don't forget about the Hagman Protocol, the Hodges Protocol. He fixes us all, along with Katie. Katie, when I use those essential oils, wow, the energy boost I got when I put them into a humidifier here.
Diffuser, I
felt like I could go out and run a marathon. It was absolutely phenomenal, the boost I got. Anyway, very quickly here, I want to mention before we join Katie in our health segment that, we have, well, I really believe that you need to have food. And I'm going to stress this again. The CIA, ex-CIA official came out today, and I read this all over the net. We're going to have food shortages after the cash collapses. The dollar goes away. A general said the same thing, and now he's being fired. We're seeing this everywhere. And I'm saying, just please, 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 don't be like the average person where FEMA says they have 3 days of food on hand. Please don't do this to yourself. You know, you don't have to buy from any company I represent. But I'm imploring you to please go out and take care of your family and make sure you get nutritious food, food that's going to store well, 25-year shelf life minimum. I really think you need a year minimum. Two is better. And this is a good first start taking care of your family. And get something with a grab and go. I mean, something you can take off with. Because if you've got to hit the road, you don't have time to pack up cans and you're not going to be able to carry them. They're going to be too heavy. So there are lots of things available at Numana.com/Hodges along these lines. And I'd encourage you to go up there after the show, Numana.com. That's two N's, Numana.com/Hodges. Look and see what the product line is available. And they have price structuring to fit every budget. It's really, and I'm telling you, I'm so satisfied with what I've done. Well, Katie, we are making great headway in Scene.life as a replacement to Facebook. Goodbye, Facebook. Goodbye, Zuckerberg. Yeah, boy, they are really upset with us, too. We have experienced some, let's say, negative consequences from the boys at the NSA because they don't like us competing with their favorite hometown boys at Facebook. But get up there at Scene.life, okay? Go there, sign up, free account, no spying, no restrictions. The only thing you can't do, sell drugs and threaten violence. There's only two things you can't do up there. And, again, don't forget, we've got our YouTube channel where we're going to store our archives. I would encourage you to visit. When you can't listen to us live, go up to YouTube and listen to us. Very convenient. Download an MP3 format. Really, really glad we did it. Sorry we waited so long. Thank you, Doug Hagman and others, for the nice, swift kick in the butt to get yours truly going on this. Well, now we are officially in our health segment with Katie, and we have some very good news. And I'm going to put out the banner phrase, and I'm going to let Katie talk. And we heard Ted basically refer to this in the last hour. Katie is not out of the woods. I want to stress that. We have a major celebration tonight, and we're so thankful for the prayers, well wishes, donations that have been offered in Katie's behalf. And she has been declared to have her cancer in her breast to be 95% gone. And that is the trend curve. It's going the right way. But folks, cancer does come back, and I'm not trying to jinx Katie. It can be prolonged and carry on. We sometimes get that last 5%. Down is like getting the last 10% or 10 pounds off of your weight loss program. So what I'm really encouraging you to do is to stay with Katie in prayer, stay with Katie in financial support. You heard Ted said that she needs to be on these protocols for at least 6 months until after she's done, and that's to prevent the reoccurrence. So Katie, on that note, welcome into your own segment, but I wanted to make sure that I got that out, because some people think the battle's over, and it's not quite over, but we've had a major victory.
We have, and oh boy, thank you, Dave. That was, and Dr. Ted, that was great. For anyone who's been following along, or hasn't been following along, and this is fairly new, I'm going to make an announcement tonight for people who weren't listening to me on Wednesday. I did give a little sneak preview on the Hagman Show, but this week has been an amazing week for me. The last 3.5 months have been a roller coaster for me, as you all know, and I love all of you for following me, for praying for me. I can't tell you how many letters I've gotten, emails, messages, prayers, advice, beautiful, beautiful writings from people, writings of encouragement. And I'll tell you, I pull these cards and letters out, I pull up my emails, and I read them when I need them. You people are amazing. You're beautiful. I'm getting emotional, so I'm going to stay with, you know, toughen it out, but I may lose it. But this week was a miracle week, and I had my, on Wednesday, I went in for my 3-month MRI, and as you all know, I was diagnosed with breast cancer back in December. I had a lumpectomy. They took out a chunk. I found out this week it was a much larger chunk than I thought. It was actually 5 inches by 1 inch thick, which is pretty large. And the 5 of the 6 margins were positive that they cut out, and which meant my surgeon showed me a little picture she drew, and she said probably an inch or more of material of tissue was positive that she saw that they didn't take out. So they knew that there was quite a bit of cancer still in there. And had they taken out all the tissue they believed was cancerous, I would be very disfigured, if not be almost breathless. Mm-hmm. So I began my protocols immediately. So in November, when I suspected it, is when I started on the protocols. I called Dr. Ted. I got the immune support vitamins, and he added some other things to that. And I've been adding protocols, natural, all natural protocols. My doctors, both my oncologist and my surgeon, said with this particular kind of cancer, lobular carcinoma, it's very difficult. It's not contained. It sort of snakes around wherever it wants to go. And so a mastectomy was the clear-cut choice of the medical profession, and I disagreed. I said no. I just had faith in what I know, what I've researched, what I've been teaching for the last year, and yeah, I kind of took a chance, a huge chance, but I believed in it, and so much of my faith walk has been affected by this. And I went on these protocols, which I will at some point list, but again, like I said on the Hagman Show, I have to be so careful about what words I use and phrases I use, but I'm going to get the message out. So I started on quite a few protocols. I went just full bore. The vitamin C IVs, I was doing those two or three of those a week. That's 45 to 50,000 milligrams intravenously. Faithfully, I started that in late December. In early December, I started on the legal THC and CBD oils. THC at night, which is the psychoactive ingredient, the CBD during the day, so I could somewhat function. I went pure green, organic, all organic, very little meat, vegetables. Is there music coming up? I hear music.
No, we're doing good.
Okay, so I was juicing vegetables.
Juicing by the angels playing their harps in the heavens.
That was good, Dave. So I did all that. I was eating just very little protein, cut out all dairy, cut out all pastas, sugars, carbohydrates, other than, say, quinoa, organic quinoa, things like that. So I cleaned up my diet and went on a cancer diet. So much of this information can come from, if you go to Natural Health 365, it is probably one of the best sites you can find. Jonathan Landsman's done an amazing job at documenting and writing about cancer diets and all kinds of information. So anyway, for 3 months, I'd been on these protocols, going up and down, not in my faith, but in my own emotional psyche. I had good days and bad days, but I will tell you, this experience was life-changing in that it was because I sought my healing not just from the flesh. I sought it in the spirit, I sought it mentally, and I sought it physically. I have had an amazing transformation in my faith, in my mind, in my confidence, in my healing. And I will tell you, on Wednesday, I went in for my 3-month MRI. That was a marker that I'd set. I had a thermogram the day before, which was, I call it the appetizer. Because thermograms, if the audience wants to research what a thermogram is, it's an alternative that I recommend for me and for anyone else to look into in replacement of a mammogram. There's no radiation, it's heat. And it looks for vascular changes, which can usually determine if there's tumor activity. It can't read cancer cells, but it's been very helpful. So I went in and I had a pretty good thermogram on Tuesday, and that got me pumped up. So I went in for my MRI, and I, a couple hours later, went to my surgeon's office, and we were going to read it together. She came in the office, and she had this smile on her face of sort of shock and joy and confusion and happiness. And she said, "Katie, except for one small spot, your MRI is clear." And I broke down. I broke down crying. She was tearing up. We hugged each other. She made a comment to me that I thought was interesting. I hope this whole situation is planting seeds in the people that I have come to know in the medical community. And I know, I want to step aside here, and I want the audience to know, I love my surgeon, my oncologist, everyone, they've been wonderful. But my approach was to get as much information from both fields, the natural field and the medical field, to use the instrumentation, the diagnostic tools, the science from these doctors. And it was difficult at times because I knew what I knew about the natural world. So I looked at this and I went in with all this armed with this information. But she came to me and she said, "You know, it's things like this that make me wonder if I'm doing too much." And I thought that was a revelation that was, it was interesting. It was heartwarming to me. And not that it was my goal, but it was revealing. And I was in shock. She was in shock. We were happy. I'm ecstatic. I will tell you, I'm ecstatic that God's medicine, the natural things that I've done, had a profound effect on my immune system. My immune system so far is doing exactly what God designed it to do. I had to clean it out first. I had to prime it, give it the tools it needed to the best of my ability. I mean, I don't want people to think that I've, you know, I'm all that, I've arrived.
We're not even close to that proclamation. But what you have done is you stemmed the tide, you've reversed it. And at this time, I'm going to remind you of something we talked about back in January when we first revealed what was going on with your health condition. Mm-hmm. And I said, I believe in my heart that this is going to be a time,
yes,
where you're not only going to triumph over your cancer. I said, this is going to be your finest hour in terms of educating the public and having an effect on people.
I remember that. You quoted from Apollo 13.
Exactly, right. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we are not ready to declare final victory. You know, I think it's God will declare that for us. But in terms of the direction we're going, we have had a miracle. It's a collective miracle with all of us. Everyone who's listening Everyone has participated in one form or another. The outpouring that I get from people on a daily basis has absolutely been incredible. And so let's stop and talk for a minute. You've had an impact on lots and lots of people through this. And kind of like Apollo 13, as people, the world watched, and people said prayers so those astronauts could get back home safely. You've had a similar experience here with tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people. Yeah, I supposedly have contact with 2 million people, according to a marketing firm, through the course of a month, through my various venues. And the vast majority are aware of you and what you're going through. So you've had a big reach. What kind of impact are you beginning to see? You mentioned your surgeon, and I don't want to leave that too soon. Your surgeon is caught in the mind trap of modern medicine, of cut it out, burn it out, or poison it. But you told me of a shift in consciousness reflected in a comment. Let's go there for a moment.
I had the same reaction the following day on Thursday when I went to visit my oncologist. And it was a disbelief, but it was not discouraged at all. It was more of a basically, like I said, shock and disbelief. And when I went into my oncologist, I remember him saying to me 2 months ago when I went in to talk to him about what I have. I wanted his expertise on, tell me about this particular kind of cancer. His approach was mastectomy. That was it. Getting on some estrogen-blocking drugs, pharmaceuticals. And I, at the end of the conversation, I said, no, but will you follow me naturally? And amazingly, he said, yes, it's not what I recommend. I've never seen this done. In other words, why are you doing this when you can, you know, do a clean, clear cut and go on with your life? But he did choose to follow me. So when I saw him on Thursday, it was a very different kind of energy shift. It was, he read through some, he looked at the notes and he said, well, he didn't have a whole lot to say. And then he read through my protocols, which I gave him 2 months earlier. He said, so you're doing this and this and this and this and this. And I remember 2 months ago, he held up his fingers and he showed me about an inch. And he said, you know, put his fingers up and he said, this is what you're doing. And he had about an inch marker. And then he spread his hands out as far as they could go, his arms all the way out. And he said, this is what you need done. Meaning what you're doing is good and it's nice and it will help, but it's not going to do what we want done, and that is to eliminate the cancer. Well, when I went in the other day, we didn't get that. He read through my protocols and he just sort of looked at me and said, well, do you have any pain? You know, he gave me the little physical and he said, just, I'll see you in 3 months. Continue doing what you're doing. And that was it. It was one of the shortest appointments. I think he was probably caught between a rock and a hard place. I don't know if this is going to make any giant waves with anyone, but I do believe it planted seeds, because I told him several months ago, I said, do you know anyone who's doing what I'm doing? And he said, no. And I said, well, I shook his hand and I said, well, you do now. So 2 months later, these protocols, my body, the way it was designed, it worked for me. Now, I'm not saying every cancer's like this, and I have to make this, and I will make this qualification. There are some cancers that need immediate attention. And so, yes, in that sense, they are correct. They are lifesavers, these doctors. But when it comes to healing, that's a whole different matter. Crisis care, yeah, if I had inflammatory breast disease, I would probably need my breasts off within a few days. That's a very dangerous kind of cancer. But I was fortunate enough to have a slow-growing but difficult, very difficult virulent cancer, but slow-growing. And I had time to pray, to think, to put my notes and my everything in order and to implement these protocols in such a way that my body responded. Praise God, my body responded. And my word to people out there is, be encouraged. And don't be so quick to listen to the one medical model that is available to you through the medical industry. Look, research, understand your disease. Look up your disease. Look up the science of it, the particular kind of cancer you have, or if it's heart disease or fibromyalgia, whatever it is. Look for information. Become an advocate for yourself rather than throwing your life into a impersonal system and trusting them. I trusted me, honestly, more than I trusted their opinion, but I do trust the machinery. Dave, I am so grateful for the MRI. I am grateful for the pathology and the pathologist and his science and knowledge. I'm grateful for my oncologist and my surgeon for guiding me and being my friend through this and supporting me. But I knew enough to say, I'm going to try it this way. And they walked with me. And Dave, I can't tell you how happy I have been and how grateful and humbled I have been through this, and the people who listen to this show, what an amazing group. And yes, Dave and Ted are right. I am not out of the woods. I have a spot. I'm still on my full protocols. I'm still eating and doing everything, and probably for several months. And I would ask for your prayers to continue. But I wanted to share the amazingly good news with my audience, because it is miraculous news. And I'm telling you, healing is out there for people who pull back and listen to God. God is such a part of this, because not only has my body responded, but my spirit has transformed. My mind, my thinking, my patterns have transformed. I'm a work in progress, trust me.
Yeah, you are. The reason I'm chuckling is we all go through our stubborn spots, and I was just thinking about how you and I exchange kicks in the butt to each other when we meet.
And I
recall there were some very dark days, very big days of doubt and disappointment and fear, which is just part of the human condition. And you know, sometimes I'm better sighted on other people than I am my own life. Mm-hmm. But I just didn't think I could allow you to do that. And that's why I tried to keep you positive, focused, and don't get pulled into the negative. And you were able to transform that. See, you're everything. And this is what I know, the people out there who love you so much, that they sense this about you too. The first time I talked to you, I knew there was something special about you, which is why I wanted you on my show. I could go out and find other people who do a good job with health reports. And you do a good job. But I could find other people. But there was something about you. And what you have really demonstrated here through this is someone's challenge may not be breast cancer. It may not be cancer at all. It can be anything. It can be social, personal, relation. It can be anything. But you have shown that you chose a path. You systematically worked your plan. You believed in it. You got the Lord on your side. You got people on your side. And together, this mass consciousness has caused a shift in your illness. And people can do that in any facet of their lives, because how often are we told by the pastors that God can move mountains? Well, he can. Mm-hmm. Through faith, we can do anything. And you know, I think this is your finest moment in terms of what you're bringing to the people, in terms of an example of what can be.
You said it better than I did, believe it or not. You just tied that together. That is, I feel that. And you don't need a radio show to garner mass prayers, although I am so blessed and fortunate to have this power. But I will tell you, the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Prayer is prayer. God will listen to one prayer. He will listen to all prayers. If you need prayer, you solicit, you go out there and you boldly proclaim that you need prayer. And that humility alone is what opens up these channels, the doorways. And having that vulnerability, really, God, I believe God wants us to reach to him. And something I said on the show the other night, through this process of crying out and being so desperate, I said on the show the other night, this is the first time in my life that I felt I completely lost control. And that is it's a scary feeling, but I turned that around and I said, no, this is the best opportunity I have ever had. And God worked it, and I feel closer, and it's been an amazing process. It's not over, and I look forward to more that's coming, but I'm so grateful to all of you. I'm grateful to God, and thank you all so much for being with me. And continue with me on this journey, and I pray for all of you. Every time someone prays for me, Dave, I feel that. I feel the energy of those prayers. They lift me when I'm down, and I turn that back out. And I pray for everyone out there who's been following me on this journey. And
that's what I can identify with, because I try to kick the butts of really bad people. People who really, you wonder even why they were born. And it's dangerous. And I understand that. But it's funny, I was interviewed by Kevin Blake the other day on a station in Northern Colorado, and he says, you get so many people praying for you, and he says, I see evidence of everywhere. Mm-hmm. And you know what? It allows me to not worry about those things. It allows me to just put my life in God's hands and just do what I feel that He wants done and how He wants to use me as an instrument of truth, and this show is an instrument to help people. And you're doing the same thing with the illness, but we can all be this way. And this is why people say, America's dead. There's no hope for humanity. 95% of us are going to die. It may not be in our time, folks. I know there's going to be an end time. But we don't know for sure that the end time is the end time now. We don't know that. The Bible doesn't give us a date. So I pray to God frequently. Let me know peace in my time. Please let my son and his friends and his generation know peace in their time. And maybe we can put this off to another time. This is why all things are possible through God. This is just one example of how we can accomplish anything. And this is why I don't give up the fight. Whether it's a health matter like this, a political matter with Donald Trump, a military matter with the possible invasion of the United States and fifth column terrorists coming in to wreak absolute havoc and destruction upon us. I don't give up hope that we can't turn these things as long as we are in the right mind and the right spirit. And what does inspire mean? The word inspire, we get inspired to help Katie. We get inspired to do positive things in our life. Inspire means in spirit. Mm-hmm. And in spirit of what? In spirit of God.
Well, and I'll wrap up this hour, but I wanted to say real quick, every single person listening, God is calling out. And when there's a challenge in your life, physical, financial, personal, He's asking you to reach out to Him. It's not an institution that's going to give you the answer. In these end times, please, ladies and gentlemen, our connection to God is going to get us through this. It's going to save us. Please take that challenge and get quiet and ask God what He wants you to do with this challenge. And He will show you. And that's what I'm getting from this. Most of this is just total reliance on the Lord and the Lord's medicines and his foods and his fellowship with his other children. And it's just one big, beautiful ball of love and support. We've got to support each other. And so that's my...
To put a cap on this, I want to do two things. One, while our producer contacts Josh Coy by phone, and we'll get him up here in just a second, I wanted to say, well, first of all, let's talk about what's coming up on the show. We have put together some really exciting segments, and let me do a little bit, and Katie, you do a little bit, because I'm not sure I remember all the hours we put people into, but we don't need to worry about hours. We can just talk about dates, and we'll publicize the rest. But we have Steve Quayle coming up next week. Mm-hmm. Hooray, hooray. Boys, he has some great stuff, some really interesting historical stuff he's going to tie into current times to give us a really, really good perspective of what's going on and what lies ahead. And again, he talks about power of God doing the same thing. The following week, we have my very good friend, Doug Hagman, who's got a great, great, great new book out.
And I'd encourage you to go to the Hagman and Hagman Report website, and he has all the ordering information there. So Doug's coming out with us. He'll be out with us on the 17th. We're also working on getting Lisa Haven on. Lisa doesn't know. Lisa, if you're listening, yeah, I'm going to be calling you after the show. But we're going to get Lisa Haven on, and we're going to talk about Scene.life and how we can use this as a tool to really spread the word of freedom and messages like this. And we have John Rappaport on, and it's jumped off my brain here.
He'll be on the second hour on the 17th, John Rappaport, to talk about VaxEd or whatever interesting subject comes up.
We're going to have to actually move that time to first or third hour, but we'll take care of that.
Mm-hmm.
So we are going to do that, and then we have another... The guest that jumped out of my head, help me.
Oh, Greg Jackson will be coming on, I believe, the first week in May. So that would be May 1st, the Sunday, May 1st, Greg Jackson.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he's got a great book out.
Oh, gosh. If you ever want to be inspired and you want, you know, help with raising your kids in terms of what to say, not to say, how to get kids to be respectful, respect themselves. Oh, just so much great stuff.
It's called 40 Things to Teach Your Children Before You Die, The Simple American Truth About Life, Family, and Faith. Great book, great guest. And we do have Josh on the line, by the way.
Oh, we do. Okay, well,
mm-hmm.
that brings us right up to date. But again, I just want to put a real brief cap on this. Katie still needs your help. She needs your prayers. That's above everything else. But we still have protocols that she's engaged in that require some financial assistance. So I would encourage you to please keep giving. If you're giving on a regular basis, please don't stop that, because we're going to need the help probably for at least 6 more months is what we estimate to get her fully through this. And God bless all of you who have been part of this effort. Well, anyway, let's go to Alabama to my good friend, talk show host, Josh Coy, one of the bright and upcoming stars in the talk radio lineups across America. He's on the biggest FM in Alabama, spreads out over 4 states. He has an enormous reach, very popular show, and he's no stranger to our listening audience. We've had him on a lot lately because his research and my research keeps crossing paths. And by the way, his station is WYDE, and I'll have him give out the contact information on that. Josh, my friend, welcome to the show.
Hey, Dave, how are you?
I'm doing terrific here.
I got to first thank you, because you're interrupting WrestleMania. You know that, right? You've ruined my WrestleMania. It's all over now, Dave. I got nothing. I can't talk to you and watch the main event. Thanks a lot, Dave. Thanks a lot, as always. Bringing
more
trouble
into
my life. Yeah, right.
Now, you're not like my late father-in-law, Miss Dearly, who thought maybe that wrestling was really real.
No, I didn't. Actually, before I got into radio, I used to write. I worked for a local wrestling promotion when I was like 18 and 19 years old. And so, I wrote wrestling for a little while. And that was actually how I started doing radio, was how I began doing commentating. So that was how I got into broadcasting. As bizarre as that is.
Wow. That's amazing.
I just lost all credibility, didn't I?
Well, I don't know credibility, but I'm a little surprised here. That's kind of, we all walk in our different roles through life, and we all do different things. And some people are really, really, they've heard me say it on the show a number of times, but I used to be a college basketball coach. I did that stuff for quite a while. And we all had our former lives before we came to our calling, which is to fight these evil so-and-sos and what they're trying to take from us and from our kids.
Exactly.
And
yeah,
so
exactly.
You're absolutely right. But we all have our former lives and our roles, and we come together as a conglomeration of different backgrounds. And I think diversity is our strength in this. And the one thing that I'm so impressed with, and we sing the praises of a lot of people here in the independent media that do similar work to us. We are not competitors in any way, shape, or form. We become best friends, colleagues. We're like family members to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I think our listening audience senses that. And our listening audience becomes part of our family as well, too, because it's going to take all of us to turn this stuff around. And
well,
I do think we can.
So the rest of the media is all, I mean, yeah, obviously, you know, the mainstream, whatever's in the mainstream news, it's very so incredibly controlled, so you're never going to get any real truth from it. But what's amazing is the number of people who've gone over from watching, you know, mainstream media to the alternative media or to the independent media. And there are people out there, you know, you and I were talking about this the other day. There are people out there who do talk radio shows like yours, like mine, who try to put as much information as they can, cram as much information that isn't in the mainstream so people know what's really going on. But at the same time, we also know that the government funds certain hosts, programs, and I'm not going to name any names, but this is true because it's a disinformation directive.
I can tell you
where
they don't.
The CIA's disinfo past.
They don't fund the Common Sense Show. And I suspect they're not funding your show. We got to go out and pay our own freight. And, yeah,
well, that's what I'm saying. You've got to, you know, we should stick together. We should, you know.
Look,
that's why I like how you have Quayle on and Hagman.
Let's lay this on.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let's lay this out, Josh. Because I'm not going to get into any of those urinating matches here on the air, and I never will. Are there people in the movement who are compromised to a little, to a great degree? Of course. And I have trolls that troll me all the time. And you can tell they're the $18 DHS. You know, we got hired off Angie's List, and check it out, folks. That's real. You know, they are what they are. When you serve Satan, I believe you burn in hell. And I feel sorry for people in the NSA, in the various alphabet soup agencies, and in those pretending to be in our business, the freedom movement. I feel sorry for them too. You know, I don't hate them. I don't even really judge them. I just avoid them like the plague because I know what they are and I know who they serve and I know what they're trying to accomplish. And with that, I just let it go. Some people go on these tirades where they feel people try to expose me as a shill. I'm a pretty broke shill, I'll tell you that. But the bottom line is here. Yeah, and Josh, you're in the same boat as I am. I know that. But I'm telling you, we accomplish nothing when we infight. We have much bigger enemies than shills and DHS trolls. We have to keep our eye on the prize. The objective is to win the game for the glory of God. That's the objective. It's not to win these little intramural matches with fellow competitors. But let's get down to brass tacks here, real quick here. Trump is going to have the nomination stolen. He's already made allegations about stealing delegates. It's only just begun. And the other side is so reactive. I told the story I told you, Josh, where we talked about Curley Hoagland and his fellow RNC leadership pronouncements that we're just worthless pieces of crap. Our word doesn't matter. Just sit down, shut up. We will tell you who our two candidates will be. And we're seeing right now theft in action with the Republican Party stealing the delegates of Donald Trump. And even if you don't like Trump, you can't respect how this is going. What's your reaction to this, Josh?
That is now my ultimate reaction to it. I came to that conclusion the moment that it became, they began using race. I knew they were going to use race eventually, and I just didn't know how, what context. A lot of people like who do research all the time, like you and myself, we've been getting more and more intel about the elite wanting to use some type of new civil war or new race war in America. So just something to create some type of key violence between two camps of people and two camps of Americans. And a lot of people were looking for that. And then when I saw him begin to do the race thing, and then, you know, as those weeks went by, we started doing more research and found out it was George Soros that's funding it. It was the Council on Foreign Relations that's funding these groups. It's, you know, a lot of these subsidiary organizations of those two entities. It's the Clinton campaign or it's the Sanders campaign. And they, you know, shelling out money. It's just their last ditch effort to stop what is happening. And I think, to me, what it all comes down to is it's free speech, man. If you don't like what I'm saying, that's perfectly fine. The problem is that I have a right to. Why? Because I'm an American citizen. You can't walk up and punch me in the face because you don't like what I said. That is, you know, you've crossed the bounds of reality in that. And that's where all these people seem to be. They just they don't have any respect for other people's opinion. And I know that that's because of the age that we live in, and that's because of what the elite are doing through the media. To, you know, they keep stoking that fire. You know, that's what they keep. They'll pick up that fork, and so they'll stoke that fire, trying to get that blaze burning again, that real hot, that white hot heat between black and white, or that white hot heat between Republican and Democrat. And it's, I don't think it's working, and I think that they're going to have to do something even more drastic in the next 3 or 4 months. And, you know, it's April, Bohemian Grove coming up, summer solstice, very important time periods for these people. For those who don't know, time is a very important key issue to everything that the elite do. They believe that time, through astrology, through the stars, through Satanism, they believe through Egyptology that this is, they gain their power through specific moments in time. And April has always been a very powerful month. It's almost as powerful to the elite as September and October. But you've got, like I said, Bohemian Grove coming up. You've got all this incredible buildup behind Donald Trump as an anti-establishment candidate. And I think they're going to have to do something, Dave. I really do. I think they're going to have to do something more drastic than stealing delegates or a brokered convention, because I don't think it would work. I mean, I think they would try to make it work, but I really don't think it would work because the people don't want it to. And they don't want it to so much. I haven't seen this many people so incredibly educated and riled up at one point in my lifetime. I've never seen this. I'm sure those who lived during the Vietnam War, they saw it. They felt that power of the people versus a corrupt and corrupting federal government. I've never seen that like this before. So regardless, you like them, you don't, it's America. You have to fight for someone's right to speak.
Do you think a critical mass of the coalition of the people changing consciousness, millions of people coming into the movement that didn't know anything about the movement before, do you think that will overcome the corruption and stealing delegates and changing roles?
I think, do you remember, I know we don't have a lot of time, but do you remember the Acorn scandal?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, Barack Obama ran for president, I think it was during his first or second one, it really became a big deal. I can't remember if it was his first term or second, it doesn't matter. But they had we had the Acorn scandal, and what we found out was that, you know, people like Bart Simpson were voting, and people who had died in World War I were voting. And amazingly enough, all of them voting for Barack Obama. And he had that kind of crossover appeal where he would, you know, kind of cross over into dead people, which was pretty, you got to get in that. That's good. That's good stuff. Getting people out of a graveyard to vote for you. It showed his power. So we had the Acorn scandal. That stole a bunch of votes. Remember, what did we have in 2000? We had Bush and Gore. Remember that useless stupidity that we had to go through? I mean, yeah. Gore won, and Fox News came out and said, no, he didn't. Now it's Bush, and then it just became this embarrassing thing that we had to go through. I don't think that's what we're looking at. I think it's reached a point of a desperate moment that will have to happen on live television. And the reason it will have to happen on live TV, at a debate, it will have to happen at a rally, press conference, at the convention, something drastic will have to happen. I truly believe that, for them to stop. Not just stop him. It's not, like you say, you say this a lot, it isn't him. It's not stopping him. It's stopping what he's doing, what he's stirring up, the overall message. Which really, the overall message of this guy just seems to be, do your own research. Just do your own research. Go find out. Do it. Don't trust the elite.
I've said many times, I'm not voting for Trump. I'm voting in supporting keeping the consciousness shift alive that are bringing millions of people into the right way of thinking, which is take off the blinders caused by the corporate-controlled media and begin to think for yourself and look and ask yourself questions like, name one thing this administration has done to make the life of any middle-class person better. Answer, zero. And people are waking up to this. And I've caught a little catchphrase here, Josh, that I like to use. Now we're seeing people, instead of talking about NFL free agents as much, they're talking about free trade agreements. And as a consequence, people are realizing that they have been raped financially, going back to the time of their parents, where I just read this today. What are we working, 20% longer for 23% less than we were in 1980? Well, where do you think all that goes, folks? Goes to the corporates, the corporates for their free trade agreements, and this is what is being called attention to by Donald Trump. And if Donald Trump were to be run over by a bus tomorrow or worse, assassinated, this movement will not die.
That's right.
At least I hope it won't. Now, I've seen a movement like this die before, but it wasn't as strong, and that was the Ron Paul, Loveolution, so forth. And when they stole the election from him, they cheated in Iowa and New Hampshire, you know, and basically he dropped out even though he should have been winning. I thought there would be a movement, a mass exodus to some single location to fight and take back what's ours, and it didn't happen. With Trump, I think it can. But you talk to me about something today. Let's go forward. Trump loses the nomination, or he loses the general election, or he's assassinated or dies of natural causes. There's still pent-up anger like I've never seen before in this country. Right. And there's pent-up anger at specific targets now. It's not free-flowing anger. That anger, that collective anger that has permeated millions of people is going to need somewhere to go. If Trump is not the leader of this, where do you think it'll go?
Where do I think the anger itself will go?
But the people, the people's movement. The overtone is anger. The undertone, which will eventually replace the anger, because you don't compete on anger long. You don't live on anger long. Anger is a driving force right now, but it'll be replaced by this is what we demand, a plan of action. And Trump is giving us some form of a plan of action, controlling immigration, basically stopping the free trade agreements, charging a 35% tax on re-imported products from American corporations that have relocated overseas. So anyway, that, when we look at that, we see specifics now. That's going to replace the strong emotion, the anger. Where will that deposit itself, though? How do you think this will manifest if Trump is not the president next January?
I think that basically the American people have an attention span that can be measured in nanoseconds. We pay attention to things for about 2.5 seconds, and then it's gone. Or maybe 0.5 seconds, it's gone. We don't care anymore. And there's a reason for that. It isn't just our own stupidity or whatever, or our lack of interest. It's because there's so much coming at us on purpose, you know, deliberate. And I think that I don't even like saying it out loud, man, if Hillary were to triumph and become president of the United States, I think there are enough people in this again movement, and I'm not just saying people who voted for Trump, but the entire, I'll even add the independent media into that movement. I think there will be a huge response from the people of we're not letting this is it. We were drawing a line. You can't do this, because we know what she's about. We've watched her for, you know, 30 years. We know exactly what this thing is about, what this creature is doing. We are well aware of how evil and truly bizarre it is, and it will get, and we can't allow it. And I really do believe that. I think we have to strike. She got to strike so fast, man. If something were to happen, you only have a matter of maybe a month until that, all that anger and all that adrenaline will naturally die down. I mean, we're a fluoride-fed community. We're a chemtrail-sprayed community. We're being given chemicals and GMOs. We're being loaded up with stuff to make us not want to resist. So that it's reached this point in this country, even while we're being sprayed from the air, poisoned by the water, and sedated by the food, we still have reached this boiling point. That says something. I see hope in that. But it'll have to happen fast.
I tend to agree with you. The Hillary Clinton is a lightning rod of negativity. Donald Trump is a lightning rod of positive involvement. And don't give me the violence arguments, folks. That's MoveOn.org. It's George Soros. Black Lives Matter. I mean, Trump doesn't invite violent people to come to his rallies so he can make some kind of message. It's ridiculous. It's not even a believable story being concocted by Megyn Kelly and the rest of the morons at Fox News. I mean, she is the call girl for the New World Order. Let's make no mistake about
it. Isn't even working. It isn't even working.
No, it's not working. You got to wonder how she feels. You look in the mirror. What do you think she says to her? If she has a family and kids, I don't know her personal background. Imagine she goes home during, you know, after her show. Yeah, mommy had a really good day at work today. I lied to the American people. I took away your hope for a future, your job, keeping jobs in the country. I'm promoting a Satanist in Hillary Clinton, and I'm promoting anything but the Constitution and a solid American middle class. And guess what, kiddies? I don't know if mommy's going to be around long enough to protect you. What an awful human being you are, Megyn Kelly, Bret Baier, Wallace, the whole crew. And then CNN. Ain't no better. Although, I'll tell you what. I used to call CNN the Communist News Network, and I loathed them more than I did anywhere else. I have to tell you, Fox has passed them. At least in CNN, you can hear some reasonable... Yeah, you can hear some reasonable discourse on both sides of the issue, even though they color it and outnumber the real view that is expressed by most of the middle class, and they try to outnumber us there on their broadcast. At least you hear the other side. With Fox, you get fairy tales.
Yeah.
You get stuff that's not even believable crap. But let me mention this, and I had told you this, and I think it bears repeating. We forced the Republican national leadership, we being Doug, Joe, Hagman, and myself, we forced them out of their little shell where they confronted yours truly in an email, which we're going to do something this week. We didn't respond quickly because we're not reacting to them. What we said was the truth. I don't need to defend the truth. The truth speaks for itself. But we are going to have a position statement. We are going to put this email up. We are going to dissect it. We're going to go through it. And I'm talking about the email that came from Mrs. Hoagland, very professionally, very civilly written. She claims to be a Christian. I have no reason to doubt that. But the bottom line is, the Christianity there is not present in the Republican leadership that lies, cheats, and steals and is trying to abscond with an election. It's not honest. There's nothing Christian about what the Republican leadership is doing right now. So don't hide behind the cloak of Christianity when you got this crap going on at the top of your party. Your party is evil. The Democratic Party is evil.
Remember the, and I know, you know, we're running out of time, but you know this, you know history, you know this story, but don't you remember the Reagan convention before it was before the day of the convention? I think it was going to be Reagan and Ford, and that was what they had. They had Ronald Reagan, and it was going to be Reagan and Ford. And all the signs were made, all the hats were made, all the T-shirts were made. The convention begins the first day, Reagan and Ford. Basically, the Council of Foreign Relations and begin to get together, Henry Kissinger, and they start talking. They're like, yeah, this guy Reagan, you know, we don't really know what's going on here. We don't really know if he's going to stab us in the back or not. So we got to have somebody with a brain that can watch him. And right there at the convention, even though he had already had a running mate that had been made up, been in the posters and had the huge banners all up, didn't matter. They brought George H.W. Bush out of the CIA, brought him to the convention and said, here, and what we had since, you got Reagan, Bush, Clinton, Obama, nightmare scenarios. So at the convention, I don't know, man. I don't know.
I have a reaction to that, too. I'm old enough to remember the 1980 convention very clearly. And Ronald Reagan had attacked George Bush, who was trying to get the nomination himself, as an insider, member of the Trilateral Commission. First time those words were ever uttered. It was on ABC. I almost fell out of my seat because I had just read Patrick Wood and Anthony Sutton's book, Trilaterals Over Washington, about a month before this. And I go, I know what this is. I know what the trilaterals are. I can't believe he's saying it. And sure enough, all of a sudden I wake up another morning, turn on the news, and Bush is his running mate. And I said, ex-CIA. Gee, didn't we have this before when John Kennedy was set to run with someone else and all of a sudden J. Edgar Hoover blackmailed because of past transgression?
John Kennedy and taken LBJ as the running mate, the man who will replace him when Kennedy is murdered. Yeah, we've seen that, but this isn't going to be about running mates. This is about Donald Trump rolling into the convention with about 1,100 votes, is what I estimate, and they're going to take the election away from him. And I'm telling you right now, they're going to give it to Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan, who filed on January 30th to run for president.
Oh, come on, Dave. You really think that?
Have one damn delegate.
You really think it would be Mitt Romney and Ryan? You really? I mean, you don't think it would be they would hand it to Cruz?
No. No, they hate Cruz really? Almost as much as they hate Trump. But I'll tell you. Well, look it. You tell me. I've published the document. It's out there. Romney and Ryan have filed to run for the office of the president on January 30th of this year. They are eligible. Now they're not even running, which means they plan on giving it to someone who doesn't even have one delegate of support. That's what this tells me.
Can that be done?
Well, they're changing another. I'll give you another rule they're changing here that Mrs. Hoagland said that's not true. Well, it is true because it's been reported on Fox and CNN. So why would they lie? They're against Trump. They're going to suspend the rule. I don't know if it's called Rule 8, but they're going to suspend the rule that says that for you to be nominated and voted on as the nominee, you have to have won 8 states. Well, excuse me, there's only 2 men when they get to the convention that will have won 8 states in the Republican Party.
Exactly.
And that's Trump and Cruz.
That's what I'm saying. Can they do that legally?
Why would they take away the rule? Because they got Romney and Ryan waiting in the background. This is so disgusting. Don't hide behind Christianity, RNC leaderships and wives. There's nothing Christian about what you're doing.
I'm telling you, Dave, I don't... I really do see this as... I don't know how it's going to shake out. Don't have a clue. Couldn't predict it if I tried, because I couldn't have predicted it last January that we would be sitting right here election-wise. I would have never, ever thought that it would have reached this point. But at the same time, I know... I really don't know why, but I just sense, like you're saying, something enormous is going to happen.
It is. April 20th.
It could be tragic, or it could just be...
Write it down. Yeah. Josh, we're just about out of time, but I agree with
sure,
you. Dave. I mean, Ted Brewer was on here and named all the things that happened on April 19th and 20th, except, I think, for the Gulf oil explosion. Add that one in, we got the whole list. But anyway, tell people quickly, in 30 seconds or less, how they can follow your great show on Saturday nights.
Sure. We do a show Saturday night here in Birmingham. It's heard all over the country online, obviously. 101wyde.com. 101wyde.com. Click the Listen Live link Saturday night, 9 p.m. Central, and go and check out Dave Hodges' new YouTube channel. And that is very, very glad you got that up, Dave. So.
I do too. Glad we are out of time, my friend. We got to scoot. We'll be talking to you soon. We appreciate you. And folks, everybody else, we'll be back here next week with Steve Quayle. Go out and have a great week. God bless, and say prayers for Katie.